Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grillin' mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome, you are listening to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. We're bumped up against the end of July. We are on, unfortunately, the back half of our summer. God, I hear all these ads for school, back to school already, and I don't have kids in school, but man, it just makes me feel like this thing is blowing by. But I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob, and this is the Grilling Guys. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks, Jop, and welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. It is the smokiest show on the airwaves, and we're here to just maybe help your weekend get off to a tastier start. Maybe make you look a little bit better in front of your grill or smoker or your girl, and just kind of sauce it up a little bit.
Yeah. So what'd you do this week? Anything good?
You know, it's the ongoing house project that seems to, it's actually making progress, but when you live in it, it's been a year now, and when you live in a construction zone, you just sort of get used to it, and you don't notice the progress. But you came over last weekend, and you could probably see some progress.
Oh, huge.
I can't see it.
It'd been a month or two since I'd been over, and the floors were done, and your master suite is done, and those were all in limbo the last time I was there. So,
well, I made this big butcher block top for my island, and it's massive. It's like 40 inches wide, 9.5 feet long, and I ganged together a bunch of hickory and oak and wood from my land, and some sassafras from my buddy, and I bought some cherry at Tontin, and I made a couple of 20-inch, 9-foot-long sections, and I took them down to Tontin Lumber, and he planed them for me, and because I don't have a planer that big. And a planer's just something that goes across your wood and levels it off. And anyway, got it on, mounted it, stained it, varnished it, and it looked less than I was ready to accept. So
oh, really?
I spent a day stripping it back down in my kitchen, stripping it down and redoing it. And now I've got a couple coats of, I went with a marine grade varnish and I cut it with some tungue oil and some mineral spirits. And I've been doing coat after coat, steel wool coat after coat. And I'm totally happy with it now.
Finally. Getting a little luster to it.
Beautiful,
now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you're missing before.
Well, you know, and I defer to my best girl to let her choose the products and colors, and she wanted to try this product that I feared was a problem because it was the stain and varnish in one, and against my better judgment, I did that, and that's why I ended up stripping it.
Yeah,
those
so you
don't
had
work.
To re-sand it all down and
yeah.
start over.
Yeah.
It hadn't sunk in enough that you could get
it out? No, it was really cool. I went and bought a new sander at Home Depot, and it has a bag on it. It's one of these rotary sanders, first one I've ever owned. It's got the round discs and the Velcro. But I hooked it up to our central vac hose, and I sanded right in the house, and I didn't get any dust anywhere. It was
That's
wonderful.
Nice. Yeah, good for you. Well, I had a experiment go kind of wrong. I had to go out of town on business, and I had some 2 dozen chicken thighs, skinless, boneless chicken thighs, that I wanted to get done on the barbecue, and I didn't get it done before I left. But I'd brined them, okay? Mm. So I put them in the brine, the salt, sugar, a little bit of oil.
And then you left for a few days?
No. I had them in the brine for about 6 hours, which is what I wanted. Well, I took them out of the brine, didn't get a chance to cook them. So I put them on like a baking rack and let them dry off, right? Then I put them in a big Ziploc bag and just shoved them in the refrigerator. They were fine. They kept okay. But I took them out, and last Wednesday, I took them out after I got back from my business trip.
So they had been brined and then refrigerated for how long?
3 days.
Okay.
I brined them on Sunday. I cooked them on Wednesday. And
jerky?
No, really salty. And I don't know what happened, but my brine was not any more salty than it normally was. And I used a little Memphis profile. It's got a hint of salt in it, but not really. I mean, it's not a salty dry rub, but I put those things on the smoker and dusted them with that rub, and man, they were almost unedible.
The dogs liked them?
Yeah, exactly, because it was just super salty.
That stinks.
Yeah, and there's 24 of them, of course, because
yeah.
I make them up, and we chop them up and use them for salads and stuff and everything. And it's a quick meal. When you get home, you can put diced chicken in anything.
Yeah, if you've never done a skinless, boneless chicken thigh, which Jop is talking about, you got to try it because it's the most forgiving piece of meat in the world.
Right.
Except this time.
Right, yeah. I've never ever had a problem with
it. It can punish you if you brine it for 4 days.
And I suppose that brine was on there that long, and it just, whatever it absorbed, just got a chance to work more or something.
That's weird.
It was weird. I was really caught off guard with it.
You might have accidentally put more salt in there than you thought.
It must have been something. I mean,
did you measure the salt?
I do. It's salt to sugar, and I'm one salt to three sugars. Is usually in my brine, and then I put a little smoky soy in this one.
More salt.
Yeah, that might have been it right there. That might have been it.
Yeah, I do the low-sodium soy.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to end up on blood pressure medicine for one thing.
Yeah.
And I think salt, I tend to be a salt freak. I love it.
Right.
So I haven't totally eliminated salt, but it's not something you want to go too heavy on.
Yeah.
I'm now 61 years old, and I'm going to the doctor more often and being safe. And my blood pressure's kind of on the border, sometimes good, sometimes a little on the border. And so that salt, I'm whacking it.
Right.
I'm real happy to – why don't you announce our new sponsor?
Oh, yeah, Better Made, the snack family out of Metro Detroit has joined the Grilling Guys. Welcome aboard, Chip fans. You're going to love this place because Barbecue Bob and I will be doing some sampling at random places throughout the rest of the fall and early winter. And then we'll also be having the infamous Sal Cipriano, who you've heard on the radio on other stations and shows, I'm sure, that he's a great ambassador for the brand. He's the president and CEO of the organization, and they're going to be joining us this week. You'll hear some of their ads on our show, and then we'll have Sal on over the next couple of weeks. We'll get him scheduled and get him on the show. So
I met my bride in 82, and when I first met her, of course, I'm getting indoctrinated to their family and the whole Dearborn scene. And one of the things that was very obvious to me was that there was nothing other than Lebanese food and being Irish and Lebanese. There was nothing bigger in that family than Better Made chips.
Right.
They were cultish about it. And to the point where they weren't even in West Michigan back then.
Right.
So when we'd go to Detroit, we would bring back bags of Better Made. And honestly, they are the best chip you'll ever eat.
Yep.
And I can see why they liked them so much. Kind of like Verner's,
Right.
We were, where I grew up north in Hersey, Michigan, there was a Verner's plant right on the Hersey River.
I see.
And Verner's was, you didn't drink ginger ale unless it was Verner's.
Right.
That was just it. And the same thing in Detroit. It's Verner's. You can go down Verner Avenue.
Right. Yeah. So these chips are, I was doing a little research on the company because I want to, halfway sound intelligent when we have this guy on the phone. And they said in the 1930s and 40s, there were over 50 potato chip manufacturers in the Metro Detroit area.
Oh, my gosh.
There's one now, and it's Better Made.
Wow.
Yep. They've all gone by the wayside, the little small businesses that have been bought up or merged or whatever.
Sure.
But Better Made has made it through from the beginning to the end. So they're the oldest chip manufacturer in Michigan.
So, well, we've got a lot of potatoes, and they get all their potatoes from West Michigan.
That's what they said.
So that's really cool.
Absolutely.
So support our sponsors. Better Made Chips goes great with barbecue.
That's right.
And beer.
Speaking of barbecue, we're going to be talking a little bit of ribs for the rest of the show. So sticky with us. We'll be back.
Howdy, it's Barbecue Bob from the Grilling Guys. We're working hard on Operation GI Barbecue, which is an effort to send a plane load of barbecue to our troops. Right now, go to GIBBQ.com. Look at the Sapphire Ceramic Grill on auction. You can bid on this $2,000 ceramic grill package at RepoCast.com. That's S-A-F-F-I-R-E at RepoCast. So remember our troops at GIBBQ.com.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer. Bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, and our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Welcome back. It's the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every weekend to join us for a little bit of banter about barbecue. And, you know, from time to time, we'll get Facebook posts and they'll ask some pretty good questions. But one we get consistently is how to cook ribs. Everybody, you know, it's a quintessential product. You got burgers, dogs, chicken, steaks, and ribs, right? That are classic grill items. We get a lot of questions. It seems like our listeners struggle with getting their ribs done correctly. So we thought, what the heck? It's middle of the summer. Let's do some ribs.
Let's actually make some ribs. Yeah, welcome back. Thanks for joining us. Don't forget to check out our website. It's thegrillingguys.com. And you'll see our sponsors on the right. You'll see the new Better Made link. If you want deals on Better Made coupons when you're going to the store, clip them, take them in, print them off, put them on your phone, however you like to do your coupons. But speaking of ribs, I'm trying to get my ribs to show a little better, so I started going back to Snap Fitness in Lowell. If you want to get in shape, go to Snap Fitness in Lowell Belding or Greenville. The rates are awesome. They're pretty empty in the summer right now, so it's a great time. But there are times of the day when it's really busy, but they're a great sponsor too. And
you know, I got another strategy is if my beer belly gets so big, it stretches the skin and my ribs begin to show. So, you know, there's that tactic too.
So let's talk about barbecue.
That's right.
Yeah. So do you like St. Louis or baby back?
I'm a baby back guy. And, I just, the flat part out there and the tips are a little
soul food.
There's a lot of work out there to eat them.
Still good though.
But it is good. But I mean, if I'm being brutally honest with you, a rack of ribs for Michelle and I is almost two meals, right? I'm not sitting down and plowing through a rack of ribs. And when you know, I do the St. Louis one, there's just that much more meat on there. And I call myself a barbecue snob. I like it fresh. I don't like it the next day or 2 days or 3 days later.
Yeah, well,
like I like it.
You don't
on the
have
first
a bunch
day.
Of people in your house.
That's right.
Come raiding it all the time.
That's
either.
Right.
So my wife's pretty famous for just grabbing whatever leftovers are and take them to her office.
Yeah.
So and that's cool too.
Yeah.
Because I, you know, my office is in the home. If I'm home, if I'm not on the road, I'll just go make something.
Right.
So it's easy for me. So I'm happy to have all the extras. But St. Louis are nice. I go back and forth. Sometimes I just prefer St. Louis. Or what you'd call a spare rib.
Well, describe it because so people know
so
the difference.
If you're in the supermarket, you'll find that spare ribs are a dollar less a pound than baby backs. And it's the lower part of the rib that goes down to the hog's belly. and that little flap is like attached to brisket meat or something in their diaphragm. And it's a cheaper bone. It's got less meat on it. It's really good to eat. They're longer. I find them to be a little, I think they're a little more fun to eat because sometimes baby backs have so much meat on them. If people overcook them and it's falling off the bone, then you've got that issue.
Right.
Or maybe it's not an issue. Maybe you like them that way. And however you like them is fine. Mm-hmm. You know, if you like them a little chewy, fine. If you want them to lightly tug off the bone, which I was trained in, fine. But if you want them falling off the bone, or like me, my best girl wants them falling off the bone. So guess how I make them for her.
Right.
Yeah. I spent years trying to teach her that that's not the right way. And it's like, why?
Right.
This is
what
she
prefers. Just cook them that way.
Yeah.
And it's just a longer cook is all it is. And you take them to a higher temperature and they fall off. But so the St. Louis ones are, you're going to get a wide surfboard looking thing where the baby backs are long and rectangular.
Yeah, baby backs are already trimmed by the butcher. A spare rib is going to look like a mahi-mahi or a dolphin fish. It looks like a profile of a flat ocean fish where it's kind of big on one end, smaller on the other, and you have to turn it into a St. Louis rib. You need to cut it so that it's nice and straight like a piano keyboard.
Right.
And that's what it'll look like.
Right.
When you're
and
done.
Then what do you do with the stuff that you cut off?
You cook it.
Right.
Yeah.
And those
rub
are,
it up.
Those
throw
are called rib tips, right?
There's rib tips on there. And,
right.
And if you don't take them off, you're subjecting your guests to a little more work when they're trying to eat it. And I find that those need a little more cooking, the tips in particular, because there's cartilage and stuff in there. But it's a fantastic meat. It's
flavorful.
It's one of the essences of soul food, right up there with chitlins and collard greens.
Right.
It's a quintessential barbecue if you're going to a soul food joint. So, you know, and then the other little flaps, they're just great to throw in your beans. So you smoke them up, chop them up, and you put them in with your barbecued beans, and that's just a fantastic meat for that. And you know, it's a little drier, tougher, so it's perfect to chop up and throw in with your beans. But
right.
So you had asked me, you said one of the reasons people don't know how to do their ribs right is because they don't know when they're done, when to wrap, and all that. So I think we should talk about that.
Okay. So fundamentally, let's start with the raw product, okay? And let's take them right through all of this. Okay.
Sure. Flip it over.
So
get a butter knife.
Right.
Get it under the bone. Lift up that diaphragm, I mean that
membrane,
and get a paper towel in your hand and tear that membrane off the back of the rib, right? Everybody knows that.
It's going to peel like a sheet of paper.
Yeah, it's going to peel kind of sticky. It's going to be a little tough.
And it's amazing, but that paper towel, a dry piece of paper towel, really grips your fingers, and it grips that membrane, and you'll hold it.
You won't get it off without it.
Right, exactly. It'll slip out of your hand.
So a butter knife is good to pry under a bone and get that thing started.
To get the corner up.
And I actually go into the middle of the rib, and I'll rip it both ways. That's how I found it to be the most efficient way. So then you can put mustard on it or not. I tend to put a little garlic EVO on it.
And why are you doing the mustard or the garlic?
Just to help my seasoning stick a little bit.
Okay.
And then throw some salt and pepper on it, a little garlic powder, whatever you like, paprika. I'm getting to be more and more liking just a little salt and cracked pepper. If I'm using a garlic EVO, I get the garlic out of that, and I go to Old World Olive Company and get that. We drink it by the gallons in our house.
Sure.
Sure. Crazy.
Now, the mustard isn't there for flavor. It's you're going to put a pencil width squirt down the back of the rib and on the top of the rib on the front side and just rub it around. It's an adhesive, right?
Yeah, it's like putting wallpaper on.
Yeah.
But it actually has a little vinegar in it and stuff. So the theory is that, of course, mustard powder and mustard is a great spice.
Right.
And then there's a little vinegar in it. So the theory from the Kansas City boys is, well, it does help tenderize the pork a little bit. Yeah. I wouldn't argue with it.
Right.
Just don't put too much on because
you don't want mustard ribs.
Right.
You're looking for the profile from the seasoning.
Unless
not
you're
the
German.
Mustard.
Yeah. Right. They love their mustard. Yep. So throw that baby in the smoker. Now, you said you like the 3-2-1 method and you profess that. And I said that's great. But there's a caveat there. and 3 hours open smoke, 2 hours wrapped, 1 hour open grill. That's cool, but what's your temperature when you're doing it? That only works at the right temperature, and I'm going to say it's probably 250 to 275.
That's right where I was going.
I like to smoke at 225. So I'm going to go probably 4 hours on a rack of ribs.
Right.
I'm going to cover them for an hour, and then I'm going to jack up my grill a little bit, and I'm going to grill them for about 5 minutes.
And we're covering to break down that last bit of cartilage and seal in some of the moisture. It's a steam when it gets to a certain temperature after that fourth hour, third hour, whatever it is. That's why we're doing it. But coming up next, we're going to finish up this rack of ribs, but we might be talking to one of our old buddies here, first off. So stick with us. We'll be back.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
We live it, we love it. Alan Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen. It's more than a sport, it's a way of life. Your satisfaction's been our aim. Since 59, been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it, we love it. Alan Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen.
This is Job from the Grillin' Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got six packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. We're at the end of July. Summer is about half over. Man, I can't believe how fast it's blown by. But we're taking a break, and we're talking a little bit of barbecue ribs. And for those of you that want to take a little bit more convenient way out than standing at your smoker for 5 or 6 hours, we got a guy on the grilling line, Bob, that has got some tips on ribs.
That's right. We've got Al Bubba Baker, born 1956, three Pro Bowls, NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year, and our favorite Detroit Lion. How you doing, Bubba?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Thanks for having me on, guys.
There's a whole lot more stats we could read off, but we want to talk about some ribs.
Yeah, that's my favorite subject.
Yeah, so you got a great story as to how you got into ribs. Now, you're spending this week and weekend up in you're up in Minnesota doing a food show. How's that going?
Yeah, I'm at the Super Value National Show, and I get to stand on these bad legs from 7:30 to 5 o'clock for the next day. I've done 2 days, but we've had a great show, and I mean the ribs are a tremendous hit.
Making it.
Think about it.
Cool.
Up here in Minnesota, it's kind of hard to get to your smoker. It's okay to go outside if it's cold, but when you got 5 feet of snow, unless you build an igloo, our ribs are a hit up here in Cub stores, And I mean, they just absolutely have gone crazy over the product in Hy-Vee and Cubs and this super value branded stores, Hornbachers. And I mean, you know, and that's what it's all about. It's about sharing your passion. And I love you guys that, you know, you guys always talk about things like Baby Backs versus St. Louis. You know, I have to chime in on that. There is no bad rib. It's just a matter of what your preference is. I sell Baby Backs, but man, when I cook a rib, I'm cooking myself a spare rib, and I'm cutting off that brisket so I can make tips and eat them separately because I cook them differently, right? But then that all that's left is just a St. Louis rib without the brisket. That's all a St. Louis.
That's
brisket.
Right.
So I enjoy getting my whole big old Fred Flintstone spare rib, cutting it, pulling the skin off the back, dry rubbing it, slow cooking it. Now, my wife, she's a Baby Back person. So, like I said, there's no such thing as a bad rib. There's no bad barbecue unless it's chewy. Then you got a problem.
Right. So tell everyone, if they didn't hear you any other time you were on the show, how you got into doing barbecue.
Well, I was born into barbecue. You know, I grew up in a family in Jacksonville. And the difference was they used, and I'm sure you guys have discussed this, they had pit barbecue with the fire right up underneath, and you had to be skillful at the art of it, knowing when to flip it and how what the ribs look and sound like, because that's another thing I don't think people take into consideration. But ribs have a specific sound, and when they're sizzling and cooking, that typically tells you they're cooking too fast, or your coals or your woods are too high.
And that pit barbecue that Bubba's talking about is largely a Southern thing. It's not so big up here, and it's a cultural, historical, whatever you want, but that's still a different art, and it produces some good product.
Well, you know, it's so funny. I grew up, the barbecue in the South, it has a chew. They're actually insulted if it falls off the bone. They don't consider that good barbecue.
Right.
They like that little chew in it, I grew up with that kind of barbecue, so when I moved up north, and all I ever heard, all the people ever talked about was, it falls off the bone, but down south, it's a different kind of barbecue, and as we know, barbecue is geographical anyway.
Right.
You go to one state, you go to another, and what's considered good barbecue or great barbecue, it's so-so, and that's the part about barbecue that I love.
So what kind of flavor profiles do you like to smoke with? What would you put on a basic set of spare ribs if you're going to throw them on your pit or your smoker?
Well, when I make my own, I always like to make my dry rubs from scratch. I make, you know, I use the same base, salt, maybe some cane sugar, sometimes chili. I always throw a little paprika in there, but I like things now like ginger, and I like allspice, nutmeg, and I like to make a strong dry rub because I like to offset the sweetness of pork. Now, this is my personal taste.
Mm-hmm.
I like to offset the sweet naturalness of pork with something that's a little bit of a bite, and then that, for me, that's chili powder. I don't enjoy cayenne pepper as much as some people do, but the chili powder and the ancho chili powders with the garlic and all those other great flavors in them, it goes really well with my, and boy, I love to go heavy on the black pepper. Again, this is my preference.
Mm-hmm.
That's because I'm going to slow smoke this baby somewhere around 250, and I do that because I'm doing indirect smoke now. I'm doing, you know, my box is down at one side and my meat is at the other. And I know that takes me a total of about 5 hours with a 2.5 and down, which is a spare rib with the brisket cut off.
Mm-hmm.
And I leave the brisket on a little longer because of those bones in there. And again, I do this, guys, just because I just like to chew on the gristle. Is
right.
That country or what? Does that tell you what kind of farm boy I am? I like to get those gristles so tender that I can literally crack them. And my wife sits next to me and goes, "You're going to break your teeth." I'm like, "Yeah, but it's worth it."
Well, and that's what I was talking about in the first segment, is rib tips. That's real traditional soul food, and it's exactly what you're describing. And a lot of people, if they've never experienced it, really need to, because it's another piece of barbecue that is so good.
Well, you know what it does? it teaches you how resourceful people that didn't have money were with it.
Yeah.
And historically, those were pieces that in the South got thrown out. And so the people that had less fortune would say, hey, can I have that?
Right.
And as a result, they put it on and they low cook it and they simmer it or they brine it. And my family, they always put it in like a water and vinegar brine, you know, for like 4 or 5 hours. And man, I got to tell you, those pieces, I grew up thinking that they were the best parts of the ribs.
Because they are.
I didn't really get anything. They are. And I literally grew up chewing those gristles and swallowing them. I mean, I chewed the bone when I was a kid. Henceforth, that's how I came up with the idea of taking the bones out, because I realized that most people aren't going to chew on a bone like I did or suck the marrow out of it. Now we're getting real country now. You know,
if you just tuned in, this is the Grilling Guys, and we're talking with Al Bubba Baker, former Detroit Lion, and I didn't want to send you into any kind of PTSD situation when you heard that another one bites the dust, by the way.
I went right into it. I started shaking. Seriously, I laid on the ground, and I started hearing gunfire and fans booing and everything else going on with it. I heard Jimmy Allen and James Hunter and David Hill, and I started thinking about losing 7 out of 9 games in a row and having one game at home to go to the playoffs and losing it in the Silver Dome. Yes, I do need to take my meds when I get off of this phone, guys.
So before we talk about your ribs, and we only have 2 minutes left, prediction on the Lions this year?
I'm going to say that the Lions get over their lack of discipline. Matt Patricia is a disciplined guy. I think this puts them, in my opinion, face-to-face with Green Bay and for the division championship, as we know, and winning. So that puts them at 11-5 in my book, and they win the division. Because all they needed was to get past Green Bay. And don't get me wrong, the Bears are going to be much better. Trubisky is a great quarterback. It brought in a little help for him. But I'm predicting that the Lions make that extra jump as a result of disciplined football.
Okay, we got 1 minute left. See you this fall up here, I hope, to do some tailgating.
Yeah. I'm hoping we party together in Meijer stores. Wouldn't that be great? An old Lions flair, a couple of grilling guys in the store, talking barbecue, having fun. Because if you're not having fun making barbecue, then you might as well buy it, buy the boneless ribs from Meijer's, from us.
You're missing out, buddy.
Right.
Yeah.
Listen, Bubba, it's so good to have you back, and I'm looking forward to seeing you this fall. Let's make that happen with Meijer.
All right, man. I'll see you guys in the stores.
All right. Love you, brother.
All right. Love you guys.
All right.
See you. Al Bubba Baker, famous Detroit Lion, wonderful athlete, Hall of Famer, and he has bubbasboneless.com if you want to research these things, but they're in all the big box stores around. And you know what? They are pretty tasty.
They're at Meijer anyway.
Right, when we had them good. But yeah. Anyway, coming up next, we're going to continue down this rib trail. We might go to Korea out in the country, or maybe talk some chicken ribs. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120 where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071. If your windows stick, slip, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale. Or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. I hope you're out in your backyard at the campsite or cottage, wherever you are, and creating a little grill envy in your area. Because it's that time of year, and Barbecue Bob threw me some bait right there at the end of that last segment and got me to talk about chicken ribs. So what were you thinking about that, Bob?
It's really just to see if you'll hit it. We're not going to smoke any chicken ribs.
Okay. Just checking.
Although I do have a nice big fat hen in my fridge right now, and I'm going to spatchcock it and throw it on my Cajun.
Right.
Yeah.
Quickly, spatchcocking is you cut the backbone out of the chicken and then open it up, and then I typically take a fillet knife and cut the ribs out so it lays a little
flatter.
So
that's when you get those ribs out.
Right, yeah. But they cook
so
quick,
though. When it loses its backbone, it's just like a congressman then.
Right, yeah. Just laying there getting hot.
So Korean beef ribs, do you like them?
I do. I'm not too good at cooking them because I just don't have a lot of experience at it. But when they're prepared right, yeah, I really enjoy them.
See, Bubba was just talking about open pit barbecue, and that's how they do it in Korea. I was fortunate enough to go over there in the Air Force, and I sat at little tables and had people prepare that food for me. That the wok and the fire is right in the middle of the table. So you sit there and they cook in front of you.
Right.
And it's not even a fancy place half the time. It's a little, you know, just a little bitty spot. You can't tell if it's a restaurant or what. And there's smoke everywhere. And they're just literally grilling the stuff right in front of you.
Right. But don't they kind of like butterfly it off the bone so it lays? It's not still attached to the bone, only in one little strip. It's kind of laying there. Or I've even seen it completely deboned. And then they cook it with their... on the grill, just like you're talking about, but it's still beef rib.
Yeah,
right.
And I've always seen them just on the bone. I've never seen them deboned, but you could probably do that. You take half the fun out of it.
Well, I mean, but for those people that don't like eating with their hands, it's easier to eat.
Go to
it
McDonald's.
Comes on a tape. Yeah, right. Yeah. But your wife would like that butterfly. You ought to try that sometime, right?
So. Your butcher will cut the ribs for you, and they call them short ribs.
Yep.
And basically, you're just grilling them over an open pit. I'm looking at a recipe here for basting material, and it's going to be soy sauce, rice wine, onion. It's got some pear, garlic, sesame oil, and black pepper. And it's real simple. And it's not complex.
You can find those online. Anywhere, uh-huh.
That's
right?
What I just did. Yep. We've got some on our website, but I've never tried coming up with my own recipe for it. I've only made them a few times, and I'd have to say I was moderately happy with them.
Yeah, so let me describe this a little bit, because I did a little bit of research on this, because, again, I'm not an authority on beef ribs, but a couple things to point out that they're generally larger and usually a little more tender or meatier than pork ribs, right? They're like maybe 10 inches square. It's like a little block of these ribs. maybe even like 3 to 5 inches thick. Because there's a bunch of meat on these ribs.
Yeah, typically if they're short ribs, you're going to have your butcher cut them at 3 to 4 inches long.
Right.
That's why it is a short rib.
And there might be 3 to 4 ribs in that little rack.
Yes, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
So it's one of those things that you generally got to go to a butcher. Your big box stores don't necessarily carry them that much. But it's a great cut of meat. I remember the first time I ever had them, we were out in Kansas City. And you took me to one of your buddies.
Well, that was just a standard beef rib,
right? Yeah. But
so, Korean ribs worth a try. Try it. Get them cut short, and then you just literally grill them. And if you want to finish them off in the oven to tenderize them, wrap them in some butcher paper, throw them in the oven or back in your grill in your smoker indirect.
Right.
Give them a couple hours, then throw your soy and your rice wine mixture. And your peeled grapes, I mean your pears.
Peeled grapes. Yeah, okay.
Bone a chicken wing.
Right, yeah.
So country ribs, I grew up eating country ribs. My mother made them. My dad never grilled once in his life.
Right.
And my mom would literally throw them in a ceramic cake pan and throw them in the oven with a ton of barbecue sauce.
Right.
And she would just bake them for like
days.
3 weeks. Yeah,
exactly.
Probably 4 or 5 hours. But so when I got married and started doing them, I had to experiment and play around. And I tried them on the grill, you know. But now I will smoke them for a couple hours, and then I'll throw them in a pan, sauce them, and finish them off. And to this day, I still love country ribs. They're very cheap. It's really a pork shoulder.
Yep.
And cut into strips. And very inexpensive and just flavorful, because you end up with a long strip, and then after you cook it down in your sauce, you throw it on the grill and you char it up and just get a nice little tan on it.
Tackiness a little bit.
Yeah. Get some searing.
Yeah, you know, when we always get a question is, how do you know when ribs are done? But those country ribs like that, they're just done.
You just take a bite.
Right.
You'll know.
Yeah, right.
If you don't lose your crown,
yeah,
they're done. Yeah. So Bubba talked about rib tips, and that's a fantastic, I mean, in my opinion, have you ever had them?
What? Oh, yeah.
You ever go to a soul food restaurant?
Oh, yeah.
Have rib tips?
Yeah, but they're cooked differently, like he said. They're cooked differently than the rest of the rib, and that's why he cuts them off.
Yeah, so what he's saying is, And you can do it either way. Actually, you can cook the whole, if you want, you can cook the whole spare on its own. And you can literally cut those St. Louis ribs off at a certain point, wrap up those tips and brisket meat in some butcher paper and a little moisture, let that cook on its own, and then finish off those ribs. But what I do is I separate them when they're raw.
Yep.
And but
I think they need to cook a little hotter and a little longer, those rib tips, than the rest of the ribs do, in my opinion.
They definitely need to cook longer.
Right.
And
you're breaking down that cartilage, right, that's out there that's not in the rib, the bone ribs. It's on the tips. It's where the cartilage is, and that's why you want that to break down. The meat comes off it then.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, connective tissue.
Right. And if you don't cook that longer, you're going to get that in your mouth.
You're going to work a little harder.
You're going to work a little harder, and you're going to be spitting stuff out. And
You're going to have to floss no matter what.
Yeah, well, that's
barbecue
ribs, man.
Means floss.
Yeah, that's ribs, man.
Yeah, but you know, you probably wouldn't have to floss if you were a real man.
Now you're a man, a man, man, man. Now you're a man, a man, 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 a man, man, man. You are now a man. You're a man. Now you're a man.
It's that time of year. Well, I noticed my sons are going to a lot of weddings because they're 24, 25 years old.
Sure.
So I'm seeing all these bachelor's parties, and I saw this man law, and I thought, you know, that's kind of appropriate, and it should be up to the man to make this rule, or you're not a man. A bachelor's party is exclusively male.
Sure. Sure. Absolutely. This is when you go out and you party with your buddies.
Yeah, that's right.
And you get a designated driver and
do some golfing, do whatever you want.
Right.
But it's just for guys.
Right.
No crash in the party.
Right.
Or you'll get more than a rib tip.
Yeah.
Get a rib upside the head.
Yeah.
So
let's talk about the whole concept of seasoning versus saucing and when to do it and why. Because I'm a big fan of putting my sauce right on at the end. Obviously, there's a dry rub. There's a thousand of them out there, or you make your own, whatever you like. Bubba Smith and earlier.
You mean you don't dip your raw ribs in sauce and throw them on your?
I've seen that, but no, I don't. But when do you do it? If you're doing that 3-2-1 method, and say you've got your temperature right, so that works. I'm at one, is when I'm doing the sauce. I've got 3 and 2 had a dry rub on it. 3 in the open grill, the open smoker. 2 wrapped. That's 3 hours, 2 hours. And then the last hour is when I'm putting my glaze or my sauce. And I put on, do you just pour it on thick? Or are you a guy that does multiple coats,
depends
maybe every 10,
eating.
15?
Depends on who's eating.
Really?
If it's for just me and my best girl, it's going to be lots of sauce for her. I'm going to have mine dry.
Yep.
I'm not going to put any on it.
Right.
She likes hers sweet and sticky.
Right. And I like to let the rib do the work myself. I'm not a big sauce guy.
Nope.
When I do, I usually do sweet rather than hot. But this is a piece of meat that will accept any flavor profile.
Yeah.
And
you heard,
be good.
You heard Bubba. I mean, he's going to allspice. I mean, I remember using cinnamon and having a certain barbecue snob that you and I used to know just have going to convulsions because, you know, that was just verboten.
Sacrilegious, huh? To put cinnamon on there.
Verboten.
Coming up next, we're going to bring this train to the station. We'll clean up a few of these rib bones that we've been talking about. Stick with us. We'll be back.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orinsaugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to fennvalley.com.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're going to bring this show to a close here. Got a little bonus segment for you. It's kind of like eating the rib tips after you know you got to serve the rack to your guests and the tips are over on the side. You get a little bonus there. There's always chef meat, right? You got to have that on your grill when the gulls walk by or somebody needs to get you another beer. Right, because you're drank yours because you're working at the grill. You got to give them a little thank you gift, and that is usually some off that chef's grill that I know you always keep, Bob, and I do too. Mm-hmm. So you cannot go without a little extra meat on the grill.
Hey, welcome back. Thanks for joining us. It is The Grilling Guys. Don't forget to check out our Facebook page / The Grilling Guys. I'm on Twitter, though I rarely use it. It's Grilling Guy.
Yeah.
But
just when Don sends you a note and you have to respond back. Yeah.
So I wanted to talk about doing ribs no matter what equipment you've got.
Hey, that's a good one.
And I think you and I are spoiled because we got a lot of equipment, and the average guy isn't as focused on it, and he's still trying to build a new pole barn or whatever, and that's the priority for the money.
But you don't have one of those yet.
I don't.
So we got to get the pole barn guy and hook you up.
And they don't feel sorry for me.
Right.
So... So I once was tasked with doing ribs because when people know you do barbecue and then they're stuck, it's like, hey, you got to help me.
Right.
So we were camping. I've told you this story before, but we were camping in Florida with some friends. And my buddy Mark comes up to me and says, hey, Barb brought some ribs. What do you suppose I ought to do with those? No, I think he said, what are we going to do to cook those?
That's like, what he said. Oh, I guarantee it. Yeah.
Oh, so we're on the beach. You've got, you know, your basic cheap briquette. I won't say the brand, but I can't stand it. Charcoal. And you've got ribs and a little bitty baby Weber. It's a little Smokey Joe.
About the size of a basketball.
And there's 10 of us.
Right.
And there's 10 of us. Like, you have to do ribs. That's a joke. Mark. Yeah. That's a joke. And he goes, yeah, but, you know, she's been brining these all night, and I'm really in a bad spot. And I'm like, ah, oh, now I'm with you. So I looked at this Smokey Joe, and I thought, okay, if we cut these ribs up into three rib sections, I have some skewers in my camp box. We'll stand them up, and we'll skewer them together. Dude, we made, you ever see over in Asia when they're putting up these big building and these ramshackle scaffolds they put up?
Yeah.
Well, we made one of those scaffold sections out of wobbly ribs. We had them stacked sideways and next to each other and two layers.
I had a log cabin of ribs.
I fired up that little Smokey Joe. I put foil in the belly, put the charcoal in, got her good and hot, lifted up that foil, and pulled that charcoal right over to one side and laid some clean charcoal in the other half. And I took that foil with my welding gloves and rolled it down and made a perimeter wall so I could put those ribs right next to the charcoal. Took the grate right off it. We never even used the grate. And just smoked it sitting next to that stuff. And in these rickety, stacked up, gang together.
What were they sitting on? What were the ribs sitting on?
Foil.
On top of some...
Oh, there was a grate on the bottom of the little Smokey Joe. But then basically I had to rotate the thing halfway through the cook and found some driftwood on the beach for our flavor wood. I don't know what it was.
A little salty. Kind of tastes like fish, but it's all right.
You know what? These are some of the best ribs I ever made.
Really? So you did offset cooking left to right.
Right, just with a little kettle.
Yeah.
So I'm telling you, if you have a basic little barbecue charcoal grill,
right.
You can do ribs right on that.
Yeah.
You just got to get creative.
Right.
Just don't put it right over the heat unless you want to do pit barbecue.
Right.
And you're not good enough for that, so I wouldn't try it.
Right. Well, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Hope you picked up a tidbit or two. Get out in your backyard, fire up a grill or a smoker, and we'll be talking with you next week.